Om Agyendranam Jashajanam Janasalakya Chakshuram Madhijam Jina Tasmashi Gravei Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text number 39. Tammenere bela muddha Shainam chanu brathamra Brahmana vidho vatu Ishvaram matayoita
Ishvaram matayoita
Tam
Unto Lord Sri
Krishna Nire
Took it for granted
Abala
Delicate
Mudha
Because of simplicity.
Shainam,
one who is dominated by his wife.
Cha,
also.
Anubratam,
follower.
Daha,
lonely place.
Apramana,
Vidaha,
unaware of the extent of glories.
Batu
of their husband
Ishvaram
the supreme controller
Mataya
thesis
Yata
as it is
Translation
The simple and delicate woman
truly thought that Lord Sri Krishna
their beloved husband
followed them
and was dominated by them
They were unaware
of the extent of the glories of their husband,
as the atheists
are unaware of him as the supreme controller.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Even the transcendental
wives of Lord Sri Krishna
did not know
completely
the unfathomable
glories of the Lord.
This ignorance is not
mundane
because there is some
action of the internal potency
of the Lord
in the
exchange of feelings
between Him and
His eternal associates.
The Lord
exchanges
transcendental relations
in five ways
as
proprietor,
master,
friend,
son and lover.
And
in each of these
pastimes,
he plays fully
by the potency of
Yogamaya,
the internal
potency.
He plays
exactly
like an equal
friend
with the cowherd
boys, or even with
friends like Arjun.
He plays
exactly like a son
in the presence of
Yashoda
Mata.
He plays
exactly
like a lover in the
presence of the cowherd
damsels.
And he plays
exactly like a husband
in the presence of the
queens of Dwarka.
Such devotees
of the Lord
never think of the
Lord as the supreme,
but think of
him exactly as a
common friend,
a pet son,
or a lover or
husband,
very much
dear to the heart
and soul.
That is the
relation between the Lord
and his transcendental
devotees,
who act
as his associates
in the spiritual sky,
where there
are innumerable
Vaikuntha
planets.
When
the Lord descends,
he does
so along with his
entourage
to
display a
complete picture
of the
transcendental
world
where pure
love
and devotion
for the Lord
prevail without
any mundane tinge
of lording
it over the creation
of the Lord.
Such devotees
of the Lord are all
liberated souls,
perfect
representations
of the marginal
or internal
potency in
complete negation
of the influence
of the external potency.
The wives of Lord Krishna were made to forget the immeasurable glories of the Lord by the internal potency, so that there might not be any flaw of exchange. And they took it for granted that the Lord was a henpecked husband, always following them in a lonely place, in lonely places. In other words, even the personal associates of the Lord do not know him perfectly well. So what do the theist writers or mental speculators know about the transcendental glories of the Lord? The mental speculators present different theses as to his becoming the cause of the creation, the ingredients of the creation, or the material and efficient cause of the creation, etc. But all this is but partial knowledge about the Lord. Gradually, they are as ignorant as the common man. The Lord can be known by the mercy of the Lord only, and by no other means. But since the dealings of the Lord with his wives are based on pure transcendental love and devotion, the wives are on the transcendental plane without material contamination. Read the verse again. Atanmanere bala mudha strainam chanu gritamraha appamana vidho bhaktu ishvaram matayoyita. The simple and delicate women truly thought that Lord Sri Krishna, their beloved husband, followed them and was dominated by them. They were unaware of the extent of the glories of their husband, as the atheists are unaware of him as the supreme controller. In the previous verse, we heard about the divinity of Lord Sri Krishna. In the previous verses, you know that he was able to marry 16,108 queens and live with each of them simultaneously. And he in each palace where Krishna lived with his queen, there was a full set of Vasudev, Devaki, and you know, the various relatives who would, you know, regularly come and visit him. And so, you know, this is one of the mysteries of Krishna's pastimes, that Krishna was in each palace in his original form. So, you know, his one original form was simultaneously in 16,108 palaces. And if someone associated with him, so if Krishna went to visit Rukmini and perhaps Vasudev was with him, then or Krishna went to visit his queens, his 16,000 queens, and Vasudev was with him, Vasudev would be with him in all those palaces as well. So it's practically inconceivable, you know, the pastimes, just to try and contemplate. You know, there are there's another example where Krishna went to see, I think it was Bhadralaxmi, and who was the other one? Bhadralaxmi and Shrutadeva. Mm. With the sages, the various sages. And so in order to see them both, he went in his original form, he went to both places at once. But all the sages that were with him were also in both places at once. So you know, these are the activities, of course, of God. They're inconceivable. So then he's describing that on that platform, the activities of his associates, they also don't have any material qualities, or their activities are also completely spiritual in association. So, yet, here, although their activities are completely spiritual, it may appear that they are in ignorance. And it may appear that Krishna is in ignorance. So, and therefore, you know, it appears to be, Krishna's activities appear to be contradictory. That he is completely transcendental, you know, that he has nothing to do with material qualities at all, and yet, although he's supposed to be Atmarama, one who takes pleasure in the spiritual self, he is absorbed in the pleasure with his wife and children. So, generally, if we see people who are absorbed in the pleasure of, you know, family affairs and what have you, you know, they may be considered from the point of transcendentalists to be, you know, covered by ignorance. So Krishna, in effect, is doing the same things that we would criticize the materialists for. So therefore, he appears to be not much different from that. And at the same time, so his activities are contradictory to what you would expect. Although he is the unborn, he takes birth. Although he is, you know, the Lord is supposed to be the supreme Brahman. The supreme Brahman has no activities, and yet we see that Krishna engages in fruitive activities. And although Krishna is the controller of time, he's running in fear from Jarasandha and even Mother Yasoda. So, you know, his activities appear to be contradictory. Therefore, it's very difficult for, you know, except for the grace of the Lord, if one engages in devotional service, it's not possible to really understand the Lord. Even we see demigods and great sages all the way up to Lord Brahma, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they cannot know him. Lord Brahma became bewildered and wanted to test whether he was actually God. And even great devotees like Uddhava, you know, questioned Krishna, you know, to just help him to understand very clearly the nature of his contradictory activities. Generally, the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, they're not particularly concerned with trying to understand the Lord, because they know that he is unlimited. And because he's unlimited, you can never actually fully understand, you know, the Supreme Lord. Lord Anantadeva, who's been trying to glorify the qualities and attributes of the Lord for all eternity with his thousands of heads, you know, cannot come to the, you know, limited to the Lord's glories, so how is it possible for anyone else? So the pure devotees are not interested in such a vain or a futile attempt. Pure devotees, they hear and chant about the Lord because it gives them great pleasure, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. But, you know, there some of the activities that they're hearing and chanting about are puzzling, and so therefore they will try to understand them. So that there are no doubts, or in order to be able to explain these things to the materialists and the atheists who are completely bewildered by this. So here it's describing that the main point here is that the queens of Dwarka, they appear to be, you know, they're thinking that Krishna is in fact completely controlled by their, you know, womanly behavior and, you know, their beautiful features. And in this way, they're thinking that they've got Krishna, who's just like their husband, you know, under their control, you know, by these. So they're thinking like that. So one might think that this is the activity of, you know, it's described here, Muddha, and the translation is because of simplicity. So the actual fact is that, as Prabhupada goes to great lengths to describe in the majority of the purport here, it cannot be mundane. You know, their activities cannot be mundane because they are controlling the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, everyone can understand that the Supreme Lord cannot be controlled by any material thing. Therefore, that which the queens, by which the queens are controlling the Supreme Lord, is prema, or spiritual affection, the transcendental love. Only something transcendental can, you know, move the Lord into action by His grace. So, therefore, it's described here that the pastimes between the queens of Dwarka and Lord Sri Krishna are the actions, their pastimes manifest by yoga maya, or the internal potency of the Lord. So, why does the internal potency of the Lord, in a sense, create a sense of, as it describes here, it says, such devotees of the Lord never think of the Supreme Lord, never think of the Lord as the Supreme, but think of Him exactly as a common friend, a pet son or a lover or a husband, very much dear to the heart and soul. So, although some of them understand that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in effect they don't actually think of Krishna like that, because the influence of their love and the way that Krishna is reciprocating with them makes them forgetful of that fact, or, you know, not very interested in that. So, to give an example, how that, you know, we have experience of that. But sometimes children, you know, a child may understand that, oh, you know, my father is the, you know, prime minister of, you know, such and such country. So that child understands that the parent, the father, is a very, very important and powerful person. So generally, if someone is very, very important and very powerful, one is very careful, you know, how you associate with that person. You know, you don't call them names, you don't become familiar. But a child, because of their relationship as a child, even they understand those things, it's not particularly important to them, and they don't think of the father in terms of being the president of the country so much, although they might get extra pocket money or something. But, you know, they're thinking more in terms of just as a father. And therefore, you know, when they associate with the father, you know, they may take liberties. You know, if the father's eating some cake and it has a nice cherry on top, they'll take the cherry and they'll eat it. You know, they might, you know, take the father's hat off and throw it in the water, you know, or, you know, ask the father if they can ride him around the lounge room like a horse or something. So, you know, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't, you know, organise a meeting of the Prime Minister. We get Julie Gillard here, and, you know, some of the ladies say, yes, thank you for coming. Now we each want a pony ride around the courtyard. You know, it wouldn't happen. But their children, I don't know if she's got children, but if she had children, they would do that. You know. So, because, and that's an arrangement of the material energy, it creates circumstances where the loving relationship is the thing that the person is particularly thinking of, not necessarily their power, wealth or opulence. So in the same way, on a transcendental platform, when there is that pure, you know, loving relationship with Krishna, you know, they're so absorbed in that loving reciprocation, that's what's important to them. It takes up their whole consciousness. Even they may know, some know, some don't know, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even if they do know, they don't think of him in that way. Because then that's the influence of the spiritual energy. The spiritual energy, because they're dealing with God, God's, you know, reciprocating with the Supreme Lord in a completely transcendental way. So therefore, their activities are not the actions of Maya. They're the actions of Yoga Maya, or the internal potency. It's something like when you know, people go to the beach, you know, to have fun in the ocean. When you go to the beach, now those who perhaps have a very profound understanding of the power and the might of the ocean, you know, maybe a little hesitant to, you know, go and play in the water to some degree. You know, that the knowledge of how powerful the waves are and the undertow, you know, and, you know, a tidal wave can come at any minute. And just, I remember in New Zealand that we used to go to a beach on the, well, many beaches, on the west coast, on that beach was, you know, there's big waves every day, so, you know, the devotees used to always go down there. Devotees used to live there. But one of the things about this beach was that it was very wild. So you know, several times I was there with some of my younger children, and I pointed out, this person down here is in real danger. And I literally died in front of this. I literally drowned. And then the danger that I said would happen, happened. And I literally drowned, you know, in front of this. And one time we were on the beach there, and waves used to just, rogue waves would just come in. And they'd come in, you know, sort of about level of that clock there. And but they wouldn't be just a wave, it would be like a solid wall of water that high coming in, and it would just go the whole way up the beach and right up the top of the sand dunes. And the entire beach, so if you're looking up a mile that way and a mile that way, a wave would come in and you would see the entire beach, everyone on the beach, without except run for their lives like this. And then, you know, the wave would go back down, and then everyone would go back down to the beach. And so, you know, it's a very dangerous. So, some people who have knowledge of that, the more knowledge you have, you may be tempted, you know, not to go to the beach at all. So, in one sense, you know, Krishna's power is like that. We see that with Arjuna. When he saw the universal form and got an idea of the Lord's power, he became, you know, fearful to even approach him or to stand before him. So therefore, you know, if there is if you want the children to play on the beach, there's sort of a bit of a compromise. You have to give them some knowledge of, you know, they're playing, you know, in the ocean, and at the same time, you can't tell them too much, because if you do, you'll never get them down there. You know, you'll go to the beach and the children will be, you know, they won't want to get out of the car like that. So you have to, you know, it's a bit of a compromise, keeping an eye on them, and at the same time encourage them, go in the water and like this. You know, those who have too much awe and reverence of the power of God, actually they can't enter into intimate relationships with him. It's crippling, it's stifling. If there's a little bit of forgetfulness of that, it allows one to go forward like that. So, you know, the queens of Dwarka and the residents of Dwarka, you know, they have understanding that of the powers of the Lord, but that forgetfulness is an arrangement by Yoga Maya so that the rasa of being the husband, being the wife, being, you know, friend, what have you, is not disturbed. So Yoga Maya arranges things in such a way that that forgetfulness is an essential part, in the same way that even parents will encourage a little bit of forgetfulness or a little bit of ignorance, so that the children can actually play on the beach and have fun. But that, you know, that sort of forgetfulness is different from the Dr. Frog. The Dr. Frog, of course, he has a whole different mentality of the ocean. He either denies that it exists, or he tries to calculate that the ocean may be something a little similar or a little better than his little well. So that's a different type of ignorance. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. That he says the mental speculators present their different theses as to his becoming the cause of the creation, the ingredients of the creation, or the material, efficient cause of the creation. But all this is but partial knowledge about the Lord, so that's one aspect. Firstly, they are as ignorant as a common man. So Dr. Kroll, you know, he puffs himself up to be something wonderful, but after all, he's just a common frog in the world. And, you know, when the frog from the ocean descends into his tiny well, then he's trying to understand the greatness of the ocean where this frog came from by puffing himself up and comparing the ocean, that it may be, you know, as big as his well or twice as big as his well, like this. So either denying that the ocean may exist, no knowledge of it whatsoever, never being able to play on the shores of the ocean, and being in complete ignorance, you know, just comparing it to something, you know, if we try to compare, you know, the potencies of the ocean to, you know, what the little bit of water in a well, there's just no comparison. So that is a different type of ignorance. So the so actually, even Uddhava, we see later in the third canto that in one sense, Uddhava criticizes the residents of Dwarka, the Yadus, because describing that, he says, you know, all the people in this material world, in the dark well of material existence, they don't know anything about Krishna. They're extremely unfortunate. But he says, actually, even more unfortunate than that are actually some of the residents at Dwarka, because even though they're associated with the Lord, they half know him. They know him to some degree, but partially. Because amongst the residents of Dwarka, as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, that when Krishna descends, many of the Nitya-siddha devotees, the eternal associates of the Lord, they descend with the Lord in order to display the wonderful nature of spiritual existence. You know, the wonderful variety of spiritual enjoyment there. You know, these spiritual relationships of conjugal love and parental love and friendship and servitorship and neutrality. They display this. And when Krishna is performing his pastimes with his nitya siddhas, there are many other devotees who join in with those pastimes. So even amongst the queens of Dwarka, you know, there are 16,108 queens of Dwarka. So, you know, all of those queens, you know, when Krishna went back to the spiritual world, they all went back to the spiritual world. All 16,108 queens went back. Yet some were sadhana siddhas and some were nitya siddhas. But they all had spiritual bodies. Whether they were sadhana siddha or nitya siddha, all of them had completely spiritual bodies. And therefore Prabhupada describes, you know, many times, that they were actually on the platform of the goddesses of fortune or Lakshmi. They're actually on that platform of Krishna's internal potency. Generally those associated with the conjugal rasa are associated with the internal potency of the Lord. They come to that platform. Some of those gopis There were different varieties. Some of them were actually gopis who actually became queens, and when they went back to Godhead, they actually returned to their original position as gopis. Some of them, especially amongst the 16,000, they were actually they desired to become gopis, and when they went back to the spiritual world, they became gopis. Amongst them, there were many great devotees who, in previous lives, over many, many, many lives, they performed pious activities, and then they took birth in the heavenly planets, and they waited till Krishna's pastimes arrived, and then when Krishna appeared, they were called, you know, to take part in Krishna's pastimes due to their piety. That's the result of piety. You know, piety is a bad word these days. You know, if you want to criticize someone these days, you know, oh, don't be pious. Don't be so pious. You know, if you're pious, you get to associate with the Supreme Lord. But these days, piety has a different connotation. Don't be so pious means you're making me look bad. You know, if you're going to be, you know, behave yourself in my presence, you're going to make me look like a rascal. Because, you know, they're saying, you know, people, those who go to work, you know, especially in Australia, the Indian congregation may be learning this, that, you know, when you go to work, it was like this previous, now of course the bosses, you know, they have everyone, you know, they whip on them, you know, they just make everyone work hard. But, you know, previously, when you went to work, you know, you're enthusiastic and you start working hard trying to please the boss. And the workers would say, what are you doing? You know, you're making us look bad. Slow down. If you work hard, the boss will know that we can do that much as well. Then we'll have to work out. You know, so slow down. So it's something like that. You know, don't be so pious. It's a, you know, people think, you know, that they don't understand there can be some benefit because they don't believe in reincarnation or going back to Godhead. They just think that, you know, I'm a rascal, and if you behave yourself in my presence, then everyone will see what a rascal I am. But actually, the result of piety is they get to associate. Some of them were nitya siddhas, and of course, they also appeared in the heavenly planets, but they didn't have to perform any austerities, and they were also called into the pastimes of the Lord. But all of them were actually eternally related. You know, the sadhana siddhas, the nitya siddhas, you know, having come, they all either came to the platform or on the platform, but now they're all eternally on that platform, but, you know, eternally associated with Krishna as his, you know, in that conjugal relationship. So, now, those who are nitya siddhas in Dwarka, and, you know, including some of the queens, they understand that Krishna is Paramatma, you know, and also Bhak Narayan, and that also he is Swayam Bhagavan, or the source of Narayan, as described here. But they generally don't think of him in those terms, but they understand that. There are others, there are many others in Dwarka, and it's described that they actually did not know Krishna. What that means is that they understood Krishna to be Paramatma. They didn't understand that, in fact, he is Swayam Bhagavan, the source of Narayan and Paramatma. That means that that's what's called half-knowing Krishna. You know, just like it's most common, you know, that one of the biggest things I come across in speaking to, especially the Indian you know, the people who, even amongst the congregation, not the people speaking, people who come to the temple, but even amongst the congregation, there are some who are fixed in the opinion that Krishna is an incarnation from Vishnu. It is similar mentality in Dwarka, that they understand that yes, he is a Paramatma. Vishnu is Paramatma. The super soul of the universe, the super soul, the super soul of the whole material energy, or the super soul within the universe, or the super soul within the heart and every atom. That is Vishnu. They understand that Vishnu is an incarnation from Krishna. So actually many of the Yadus actually felt, yes, there is Krishna in Dwarka, he is Paramatma. But they did not understand that he was Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, the original source of Narayan Paramatma. That's half, Uddhava says, that's more unfortunate. He says it's unfortunate. So therefore sometimes we see that there are devotees who come to the temple regularly and do service, and there are devotees amongst the congregation, and they're unfortunate because they associate with, you know, Krishna and not knowing him. And therefore, you know, there is a great opportunity missed. You know, it's something like sometimes the boss of a whole chain of, you know, businesses sometimes go undercover, or sometimes the king, you know, will go undercover and they just walk around like an ordinary person. And if you do something really nice for them, practically, you know, they will just reward you unlimitedly. And of course, not knowing who they are, you treat them in an offhand way. So that's very unfortunate to associate with someone who's so, auspicious to associate with that person, and you have no real. You sort of got the feeling, oh, he's a nice bloke, you know, he's a, you know, like that, but you really don't know that person. So that's unfortunate. It's fortunate you got the association, others didn't. So that's fortunate. They're not complete. They're still fortunate. The most unfortunate are the materialists who don't know Krishna at all. You know, who think that he is, don't even know him as, Paramatma. So, you know, all of the devotees, whether they understand that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, or they understand properly that he is the source of Narayan, Narayan Bhagavan, they're all fortunate. They're all fortunate, and by that understanding, it helps them to actually, progress on the path of back to the spiritual world, and those who are, you know, in full understanding of Krishna, practically, you know, they're living in the spiritual world even, you know, as they're, while they're still in this body. One of the things that I quite often to try and explain to them, that, you know, how can, you know, they say, you know, the scriptures say that Krishna comes through Vishnu. So I say, yes. It's something like, you know, in a jail, that the superintendent of the jail, for some section of prisoners who they think are very deserving, they may even organise for the Prime Minister to come to see them, give them a pep talk, how to, you know, get out of material existence, and, you know, promise them that if they, you know, try very hard, they'll personally, you know, help them, what have you. The superintendent, for others who may be not so well behaved, you know, they may invite lesser government officials to come in and speak to them, what have you. So because, you know, whether it's the Prime Minister or another government official who's less than the superintendent of the jail, they come into that prison through the superintendent. Because, why is that? Because the superintendent is personally reciprocating with the prisoners. And therefore, according to that reciprocation, he knows who to bring in. Actually, the super soul is like that. According to the living entities, the super soul actually is reciprocating with the living entities. And accordingly, therefore, the various incarnations come through Vishnu due to the reciprocation of the super soul with that living entity. And only when the living entity, through this, you know, taking instruction from the various avatars and sages, comes to the point of bhakti, then the Supreme Lord may be introduced at that. So in this way, you know, there's a reason why Lord Vishnu, that all the incarnations come through Vishnu, even Krishna. But it doesn't mean that because therefore the Prime Minister is subordinate to the superintendent, because the Prime Minister wouldn't come without the permission of the superintendent. You know, he will wait for an appointment, and he will come at a time that's designated. And not just turn up. He can, but generally, they, you know. So in the same way, Krishna will come, you know, at the time stipulated by and to do, you know, the particular activity. But it is not that he is subordinate to Vishnu. So, and here, of course, you know, Krishna is trying to help us to understand, and you know, he's displaying these pastimes with his queens because he's showing that these pastimes are superior to the pastimes of Vishnu or even Narayan, because Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan, they perform pastimes with great awe and reverence, with a strong mood of servitorship, with one Lakshmi each. Each incarnation has one Lakshmi. Every time Krishna expands, the internal potency of the Lord expands as one Lakshmi for that incarnation. But in Dwarka, Krishna is associating, he's married to 16,108 Lakshmis. And the relationship between the queens of Dwarka is far sweeter than the activities of Lord Narayan and Lord Vishnu with Lakshmi. So there is, it is far superior in the sweetness and the unlimited variety. And then Braja is even more superior in sweetness. So therefore, the queens of Dwarka, although they're forgetful that the Lord, that Krishna is the Lord, and they're thinking of him as their husband, they're extremely fortunate because they're tasting the sweetness, the sweet pastimes of the Lord. That makes them unlimitedly even more fortunate than Lakshmi. And even more fortunate than them are actually the gopis, who experience the sweetness, the sweet pastimes of the Lord to an unlimited degree. So, of course, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us these things, and of course we don't expect, you know, everyone to just immediately understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, because, you know, it is difficult for people, you know, just to understand that there is God, and then to understand that there is the super soul, you know, for them to understand that the incarnations are coming from spiritual planets. where the Narayan forms exist. These things are extremely difficult to understand, but to go further to understand Dwarka and, you know, Braja, extremely difficult. Therefore, we're hearing, because in the next chapter we hear about Parikshit Maharaj, and what the author, being done here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that first we hear about Narada Muni, we're hearing about Vyasadeva, we're hearing about Sukadeva Goswami, and we're hearing about Parikshit Maharaj. And the sages at Naimisharanya originally wanted to understand the greatness of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important in the Kali Yuga. And that is because it is the supreme spotless Purana, it is the cream of Vedic literatures. Now one may not be able to understand the content. You know, if you say, well, how is it the supreme? You can't immediately help a person to understand the content, but if they understand, well, let's have a look at the author, who is speaking it, and who is hearing. You know, who is greater than Narada Muni? Who is greater than Śrīla Vyāsadeva and Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj? These are the people, you know, their only subject, their prime subject is the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. Therefore, from that, you should understand this is the supreme literature. Understanding that, try to understand the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. It's very, very, you know, but it can only be understood by associating with devotees and hearing from devotees. Otherwise, if one just tries to read Śrīmad Bhāgavatam without that association, without hearing from devotees, and without taking up the activities of serving Krishna, it will always be something unknown, because it is not known just by erudition. As we said in the beginning, even great sages and great demigods up to Brahma, they cannot understand. Even the devotees of the Lord. So if it's it is only possible by the grace of the Lord, and that is through bhakti and the association, hearing and chanting and association of devotees. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. The relationship with the spiritual master is always in awe and reverence. So the Prabhupada says that. Bhakti, you know, Krishna describes that. That's that verse in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's got the word Bhava in it. Buddha Bhava Samambita. It's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Buddha Bhava Samambita. In the 10th chapter, one of the seed slogans. That with translation?
I am the source of everything material and spiritual, and those who understand this worship in this full faith.
Yeah, full love and devotion. So that full love and devotion, that full faith, you know, promptly manifests with this bhava. It is a stage where there is proper assimilation. And You know, on that platform, the Bhagavati, the what is happening is that, you know, understand the Lord means that the Lord's actual form is embodiment of knowledge. Understanding the Lord actually means the Lord's revealing Himself to you. You're actually perceiving the presence of the Lord to some degree or another. That is Baba. It's not an intellectual thing. It's, you know, you're coming into the presence of the Lord and you're feeling His presence, and you know, therefore there is assimilation. Because His presence is the embodiment of knowledge. You know, without the presence of the Lord, it is something more like erudition. And the assimilation is not properly there. And it's described that, you know, five activities of devotional service can, you know, help to produce bhava even in a neophyte devotee. And that is hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam from the devotees, associating with the devotees, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, worshipping the deity and Tulsi, and living in a, you know, a holy dharma, or regularly associating with the temple, which is non-different like that. Those five things can actually, you know, produce bhava. Because in the neophyte platform we don't take advantage of those things very constantly, therefore, you know, it may come and go at great intervals. But as one matures in devotional service and there is a constant association with Srimad Bhagavatam, a constant association with devotees in a proper way, constant chanting, then that bhava, which one has experienced to some degree, begins to become, you know, more intense and more constant. And then gradually becomes sthayi bhava, which is fixed, it doesn't change. And at that point is the beginning where one's eternal rasa with Krishna can be understood as well, gradually. Any other questions?
So you were mentioning that Uddhava was saying that it's very unfortunate if you are associating with Krishna but you don't know His greatness.
Mm.
And you are giving the example of, you know, how some devotees only know the Paramatma teacher and materialists don't know anything. So but we see that in Golok Vrindavan also they don't know, absolutely they don't know that the Godhood of Krishna. So how do you understand this versus that?
Uddhava is not saying, Uddhava accepts the fact that to not know the Lord is accepted. There's no fault in that, in not knowing the Lord, because those, one, no one can ever fully know the Lord, so there's no fault. Two, those who are on the platform of, like, the those in Dwarka and Vrindavan and Mathura, and they're appreciating the sweetness of the Lord, and to that degree they absorb themselves in the relationship and forget the greatness of the Lord. There's no fault in that. There's no criticism in that as well. So, and what he's saying is where there's a fault is where someone is associated with the Lord and half knows Him. You know, so in fact, you know, many of those devotees in Dwarka and Vrindavan, they do understand Krishna. Krishna constantly reveals Himself, you know, as the Lord. He showed Mother Yashoda, you know, look into my mouth. There is all the universes and everything. But they're not interested so much. In Vraja, no matter how much Krishna would show that He's the Lord, it doesn't even slightly affect their loving relationship. Gradually in Dwarka there is some little effect, as we see in Arjuna. His relationship with the friend was a little disturbed, so that is there. But not much. In Kubja, it was probably more weaker and more easily can be disturbed that he is God. Even they, although they understand and Krishna reveals, I am the Supreme Personality of God, it doesn't really dent their relationship. And then there are those who understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to some degree, therefore, the relationship may stay in awe and reverence. But those who, the criticism is here, there's no fault in any of them. The criticism of Uddhava is that they're associating with him practically daily, but they're only accepting, that he is Paramatma and not going beyond that. That their Uddhava sees, because in one sense, by not knowing that Krishna is Bhagavan, and therefore the reservoir of all rasas, they can deprive themselves of enjoying those higher rasas. So we see that some of the queens who were queens wanted to become gopis because they understood he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's the reservoir of all rasas. We can actually enjoy a relationship with Krishna as conjugal love. So therefore they wanted that and they got it. The others, they're unfortunate because they didn't understand that they should perhaps take advantage of that opportunity, that yes, we can enjoy some of these sweet relationships with Bhagavan as well, but they cannot because they're only accepting him more so as the super soul. So those more sweeter relationships are not available with the super soul. If you relate to the Lord as the super soul, it's not there. So understanding him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, helps us to enter into, to take advantage, just like us. We have an understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means that if we choose, by Lord Chaitanya's grace, that we would like to associate with Krishna and take shelter of the gopis of Vrindavan, we have that opportunity. We're very fortunate. But others may also come associated with Krishna, thinking he is an incarnation of it, and not knowing that opportunity is there. That's unfortunate. That's very unfortunate. To come so close and to still be not much better off than people who, don't come at all. That's the misfortune like that. One last one. I'll take half of each, no doubt.
On that point, can you say closer to mosque and farthest from it?
Sir?
On that point, closer to the mosque and farthest from it.
Yes, yes, yeah, it's very unfortunate. Mm. There was some jnana, but Krishna helped Uddhava to come to the highest level of Prema Bhakti. But he gave him the opportunity to associate with his Vrajavasis. Yeah. They have spiritual master, Purnamasi. Purnamasi, the Gopis, spiritual master. Purnamasi is Yoga Maya. The Guru is Yoga Maya. Yeah, we'll leave it there. The main point is, having come so close, don't become unfortunate and miss the full opportunity. Hare Krishna.